Welcome to episode 92 of Gary King's Inconvenient Truth, where Gary presents stories and video clips I don't know are coming for my spontaneous and unrehearsed response. Turns out they've been surprisingly popular. Gary, what do you got for me today?
We keep breaking records. Over 5,000 views in like a couple of days last week. Over 90, always over 90% thumbs up, sometimes 95, 96%. So I'm really happy that people like it, and we have people to watch it every single week. And that just excites me, actually. It makes it all worth doing. So, all right, we're gonna bust out of the gate.
You had a great idea, my friend.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. I did. Okay. Kathy was talking about Rima Label. All right. So go ahead and read this for us if you can believe this.
Well, we knew she was a moron, so obviously she hasn't got the word that the jab is a death vax. And the idea that it would be a mandate for campaign workers means they're going to have a high mortality rate. I think it's very, very bad. This is embarrassing. You want to scroll a bit more? I'll read a bit.
Yeah, just
while is requiring everyone to work for her presidential campaign, repeat the COVID vax, even though the pandemic peaked long ago and the vaccines have long since proven to be ineffective in preventing street and potentially quite dangerous, demonstrating yet again that this is much more of a political issue for liberals than something out of genuine concern for public health. On the official Harris-Walz presidential campaign website, a list of job opportunities appeared on a page entitled Work for Us. The page lists several job opportunities and their requirements, with a disclosure at the bottom informing potential candidates of the vaccine mandate. They stopped short, however, of explaining why the mandate exists. While many COVID-era vaccine mandate policies claim they were done for the safety of employees or clients, it ain't a lot harder to convince the public there's any benefit in such mandates these days. Let me just add, Gary, we can switch back to just you and me.
Yeah, that's good.
The vaccines were never even tested for preventing transmission. In other words, they were sold on the basis that in order to protect others, you had to take the vax. And if you didn't, you were a social pariah, that you were endangering others. But since a vax does nothing to inhibit the transmission, it's nonsense. It's well been parodied by saying that they insist that protection that didn't protect the protected be given to the unprotected, when it didn't protect them in the first place. I mean, it's just absurd. Makes big pharma rich, but it's well known now. And we even have Michael Yerton, who is a VP of Pfizer, admitting that it was deliberately designed to kill people, to weaken their immune system, to induce infertility. But then you see Kamala, as I've been insisting all along, is an airhead. She's a effing moron. I don't think I've ever seen a dumber person in high position in office. Thus, Dave Hodges asks, can you fix stupid by November? The answer is not a chance. And of course, we're supposed to vote for Kamala because she's a woman, but the Democrats don't even know what a woman is. I mean, Gary, we're living in surreal times. A Kafka-esque universe, black is white, wrong is right, false is true. It's beyond belief. Oh, I never expected to live so long as to see this kind of insanity, and it is a form of insanity, overtake the nation.
Yeah, I can't believe it myself, Dr. Fesson.
Yes, ma'am. Please make sure your sleeves are rolled up high so they do not interfere with the shot, sticker should be centered high as well. From this point on, there should be no talking unless you or the person next to you needs medical attention. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm still talking about the draft, and it's still on the agenda. Men and women from the ages of 20 to 25 to be drafted into a never-ending banker's war in the Middle East and the Ukraine. And before your sons and daughters leave to go overseas to fight never-ending banker's wars, they're lined up at boot camp and they're given all kinds of shots. This is YouTube. You know I can't tell you what those shots include, but they do. We already saw that all the military were required to take the shots unless they were brave enough to stand up and say no. And if being shipped off to the Ukraine, Israel, or wherever they're going to send you in their killing fields as part of the genocide operation for the British Pilgrim Society and the Babylonian Rhadonite merchant bankers, because these are always bankers' wars, they're going to slaughter you right there in your barracks, because you know what's required of you when you go to boot camp? A series of shots. And those shots also include the cootie shot that many have tried to avoid, but you won't be able to this go around. Gen X, you'll either die in your barracks of myocarditis, or you'll go out to their slaughter fields and be shot by the so-called enemy.
18 years.
The operation is to genocide America. It's to genocide all the populations of the world.
Okay. All right, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, it's just to illustrate the insanity by inoculating your draftees, you're potentially disabling each and every one, if not bringing about their outright death. So the nation, by instituting a draft that has a COVID vax mandate, is not strengthening its military. It's really incapacitating the nation from fighting conventional wars. And it seems as though that's a matter of deliberate policy. They want to fight a nuclear war. But, Gary, that's totally lacking in any realism, because Russia has far superior intercontinental ballistic missiles, far superior anti-missile missiles, far superior anti-ship missiles, far superior anti-submarine torpedoes, I'm telling you. It's going to be a lopsided war, but it appears the West is intent on fighting it, and we're going to pay a calamitous price. This is what happens when you have the most incompetent or biased or corrupt political figures leading these nations. And of course, the United States is no exception. In fact, it's an outstanding example thereof.
Yeah. All right, we've had a clip similar to this, but I'm going to go ahead and play it anyway.
Hey, guys, I hope you're watching the campaigns. We got critical issues, and the most critical issue on the mind of all Americans, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, no, it's not the economy and high inflation. No, it's not massive third world immigration pouring across the border every month. No, that's not it. No, it's not the savagery in the streets with the crime. The biggest issue that everyone around coffee tables or kitchen tables across America we're discussing is who loves Israel the most. I think that's the key issue. And both candidates are making their pitch. This is Kamala Harris last night.
Stand up for Israel's right to defend itself, and I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself, because the people of Israel must never again face the horror that a terrorist organization called Hamas caused on October 7. sexual violence and the massacre of young people at a music festival.
And then for the next contender for who loves Israel the most, we have, of course, Donald Trump.
I'm president. We will deport the foreign jihad sympathizers, and we will deport them very quickly, and Hamas supporters will be gone. If you hate America, if you want to eliminate Israel, then we don't want you in our country. We really don't want you in our country. I will ban refugee settlements from terror-infested areas like the Gaza Strip, and we will arrest the pro-Hamas thugs who vandalize federal property and make really life very, very difficult in this country for a lot of people.
So there you have it. It's a tough choice. On the one hand, we have Kamala Harris, and of course, the Republicans, boo! They hate Israel! They're anti-Semitic! Even though Kamala Harris is actually married to a Jewish guy, and the Biden-Harris administration, it had the most Jews in positions of power since, like, forever. Something like 70-80% of the administration is Jewish. But, oh, boo, they're anti-Semitic. But then the Kamala, she attacks Trump. Oh, you're a Hitler, anti-Semitic. And Trump, he is, love of life is Israel. If you don't love Israel, get out of the country. Get out of the country. You can hate America, but don't you dare say anything about Israel. And whatever Israel wants, Trump's going to give them. He did all the things for Israel. Trump said, I love Israel more than Jews love Israel. I moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Oh, Israel, if I get in there, man, we're going to kick ass with Iran. But to be fair, Kamala wants a war with Iran. So I guess at this point, it's the motivation for the war with Iran and perpetual war for Israel. On one hand, you have Kamala Harris, and she's doing it for progressive values, like let's push homosexuality across the globe and anti-whiteness. Or are you doing it fighting for Israel to help bring Jesus back, so we'll all go to heaven soon? See, this is a tough choice. This is a tough choice in the campaign, is who loves Israel the most. Both sides claim the other doesn't love Israel enough. And really, this is a time that I think we all need to look inward. Look it within your hearts. Do you really love Israel as much as you should? Because I think we're all lacking in that department. We need to do better. Talk to you guys later.
Okay. Wow, Gary, I'm so glad you included that. What a very glass of ice water in the face. I mean, you know, that's exactly how it is. Who loves Israel the most? He's absolutely right. It's not the border. It's not inflation. It's not the economy. It's who loves Israel the most. And this is such a disgrace. You may recall during my very first political speech, 2008, at a Ron Paul Freedom Rally on the grass outside the Capitol in Washington, D.C., I spoke about why no dual citizen should occupy a policy-shaping or decision-making position within the American government, because you could not know that their loyalty to the other state did not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. It's very clear. The Israelis, dual citizens or not, are all for Israel. United States, America is just a dispensable, as Netanyahu put it himself, golden calf. They're going to suck dry and chop into pieces and leave as the world's largest welfare state, because that's what they do with nations they hate, as he said in 2020. So we have to become realistic. We're in deep shit, Gary, and the fact is Israel is running our country. It might as well be called the United States of Israel, sad to say. Pathetic. On both sides of the aisle. Pathetic.
Yeah, when you want to go all the way down the rabbit hole, that's what I've discovered. That is Israel running the show. All right.
us that we are brilliant, but our ancestors were idiots. After all, they didn't have iPhones, internets, or Kim Kardashian. This is also academic consensus, for what it's worth, called the Flynn effect. The idea is people do better on puzzles, so we must be smarter. Of course, one wonders if puzzles translates into, say, understanding monetary policy or how welfare destroys families. Thankfully, we have a real-world test, actual political campaigns. Back when I was a professor, I ran every inaugural address through a Flesch-Kincaid text analysis to measure the grade level. The logic being that top speechwriters know how to talk at voters' level. Doing that, it turns out we are getting dumb breathtakingly fast. In 1900, inaugurals were written at between 13th and 14th grade. In other words, modern college level. Today, they're 8th grade for Obama, 9th grade for Trump, and 7th grade for Joe Biden. It gets worse the further back we go. Andrew Jackson's 1828 inaugural was written at 22nd grade, meaning, strictly speaking, two PhDs was the median voter in 1828. Keep in mind, Jackson was a populist man of the people. Washington's inaugural was closer to 26th grade, so you'd need that third PhD. Also keep in mind, almost nobody in 1828 or 1789 had a formal education. Jackson, for example, kicks off with, quote, undertaking the arduous duties that I have been appointed. Washington starts with, quote, among the vicissitudes incident to life. For Biden, it's, quote, this is America's day. So how did we get so dumb? Easy public schools. The modern government school came from 1800s Prussia, who had enough of worker riots and peasant revolts, and resolved to indoctrinate kids into pro-regime obedience. It worked a charm, turning the once unruly Germans into a government-directed army that went on to do terrible things. Left-wing American intellectuals were fascinated by Prussia's indoctrination and imported it to the U.S. They were motivated not by peasant revolts, but by the frustratingly small government ethos of American Catholics. Progressives figured they couldn't frog march American Catholics into government utopia, but by gum, they have their children. These activists spread government schools to every state and got a major boost post-war when competence tests were declared discriminatory, forcing companies to instead rely on formal education to discover talent. This launched the university from a fringe toy of the 1% into a $300,000 tax on anybody hoping for a white-collar job. Meanwhile, like all government programs, opportunists, teachers' unions, took over, spending, at this point, $878 billion per year, dutifully peddling politics but neglecting the actual purpose of education, leaving American kids illiterate and innumerate. In a video last year, I mentioned how fully 23 Baltimore schools have zero students proficient in math, and in Detroit, 96% of students can't do math, 95% cannot even read. But by gum, they know they're demigenders. Take people who can't name a state or don't know what a Supreme Court is, wash them with decades of left-wing propaganda, stick them in a voter booth, and here we are. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. If we're to save our democracy, we have to save our voters by replacing government schools with schools that actually teach instead of indoctrinate. That could mean school choice, could mean vouchers, could mean homeschooling, co-ops, but until we fix it, things will keep getting worse. Read the rest with a link to Murray Rothbard's classic essay, Education Free and Compulsory, at profstange.com. Okay, we'll be watching. See you next time.
Okay.
What a brilliant idea to run those speeches through a level of education assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how steadily the functional intelligence of the American people has been dropping dramatically. I mean, it used to be that we had a sophisticated population that really had a functioning intellect of even postgraduate level. Mm-hmm. And then it began to decline. College level. Now it's down to 7th, 8th, 9th grade, and I have no doubt he's got it exactly right, Gary. Mm-hmm. And I just want everyone to understand this is a trajectory for the decline and fall of America. when you have citizenry too dumb to figure out what's actually going on, you are destined for calamity. Could be death, could be slavery, could be an annihilating war. But I'm guaranteeing that the outcome is not going to be good. You take your choice, A, B, C. It's all bad. And we brought this upon ourselves, Gary. We brought this upon ourselves, sad to say.
All right. This is a mostly audio. I just threw up a screenshot.
He is a great person. I've known him for so long. For the past 16 months, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I will tell you, we are both in this to do what's right for the country. That's one thing I can tell you. I am announcing tonight that upon my election, I will establish a new independent presidential commission on assassination attempts. And they will be tasked with releasing all of the remaining documents pertaining to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Don't you want a safe environment for your children? Don't you want to know that the food that you're feeding them is not filled with chemicals that are going to give them cancer and chronic disease? And don't you want a president that's going to make America healthy again? Thank you all very, very much, and God bless you, and God bless America.
Okay.
Right now, Gary, and I'm extremely pleased you included this. I watched it yesterday. This could make a difference in the outcome of the election. If we have anything approximating a fair election, it could make 4 or 5 point difference in the swing states. In my opinion, it greatly strengthens Trump, where he is most vulnerable over and beyond his dedication to Israel, which has to do with the vax, warp speed. Bobby just seals that up. And I say, you know, don't waste this guy. He could be a Secretary of Health and Human Services. Put him in charge of the FDA and the CDC. Watch the rats leave the sinking ship. We need him. And I'm frankly overjoyed at this development. And I hope Trump has the smarts to take advantage of everything RFK Jr. brings to the table, because it's quite substantial in ways that Trump needs. So while I would have predicted he would have won in any event, I think this is very, very good, and that it solidifies his base and brings in new voters and provides cover for Democrats who want to vote for Donald Trump, because they have a magnificent example before them now that justifies making precisely that move, especially when, as RFK outlined earlier in the day in a speech he gave in Phoenix, the Democrat Party compromised him at every turn. They blocked him. They wouldn't allow him to participate in the campaign. They cut him off. They made it impossible for him to be competitive. And he called out the party, which turned out to be, contrary to its name, extraordinarily undemocratic. And if you want further proof, just contemplate, their nominee for the presidency of the United States has never received a single vote to be president at any caucus or any primary. In fact, she didn't even make it to Iowa. She dropped out before the very first caucus in 2020. Nobody gave a damn about Kamala Harris. And I think the only reason she's in this position now is because she's a complete airhead, totally manipulable. They want a puppet in that position. So the Jews Running our government can do whatever they want with the United States and let Kamala take the blame. Embarrassing, bad, but that's the way it is. She's a complete lunkhead. Dumbest ever in high office in these United States. There it is. That's a fact. Deal with it.
If you remember Underdog, remember Sweet Polly Purebred? She got as many votes as Kamala did. All right, here we go. Speaking of health.
Can you just give us the baseline condition of health in the United States?
Absolutely. So the word I used earlier, destroyed, is not hyperbolic in any way, shape, or form. 74% of American adults now are overweight or obese. Close to 50% of children are overweight or obese. 120 years ago, when someone was obese, there were case reports written about it.
Yes.
Literally, there were people in the circus if you had obesity.
Sideshow fat. Yeah, it was so unusual.
It was so unusual. It is now 74% of our country. 77% of young adults are unfit to serve in the military because of these issues like obesity. Now let's talk about diabetes. 50%. A full 50% of American adults have prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, which is a fundamental issue in how half the country, Tucker, have prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. And 30% of teens now have prediabetes. This was a condition that no pediatrician would have seen in their lifetime 50 years ago. 1% of Americans in 1950 had type 2 diabetes. We have 18% of teens with fatty liver disease, a disease that used to be in late stage alcoholics. Cancer rates are skyrocketing in the young and the elderly. Young adult cancers are up 79%. And this is the first year in American history we're estimated to have over 2 million cases of cancer. 25% of American women are on an antidepressant medication. 40% of 18-year-olds have a mental health diagnosis. We have the highest infant and maternal mortality rate in the entire developed world, despite spending 2x on infant and maternal care than any other country. So you have a higher risk of dying as a woman giving birth in America than any other developed country in the world. Autism rates in kids are 1 in 36 nationally. This was 1 in 1,500 in the year 2000, and the screening has not changed in California, where I live.
And I just want to linger on that. And the screening has not changed. So
in 20 years.
The definition hasn't changed.
No. 1 in 32 from 1 in 1,500 in California. 1 in 36 right now. It was 1 in 1,500. In California, it's 1 in 22, one of the worst states in the country for autism. So this is just a smattering.
What the hell
And all of these conditions, I mean, and I could go on and on. Autoimmune diseases, infertility is at peak rates. I mean, I don't know how this is not front page news. Infertility is going up 1% per year. Sperm counts are going down 1% per year since the 1970s. Sperm counts are down
continuing
50%,
to drop?
Continuing to drop.
Oh, at an increasing rate. Our bodies are crying out for
26%
help.
Of women have polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, the thing that people need to understand is that all of these conditions are caused or driven by the exact same thing, which is metabolic dysfunction. This core foundational issue of how our bodies on the cellular level function, which is driven by our toxic food system and our toxic environment. These subtle, insidious forces that are creating slow, progressive illness starting now in fetal life that allow patients to be profitable and on the pharma treadmill for their entire lives. They make us sick, but they don't kill us, and then we are drugged for life.
Yeah, just what RFK was talking about.
Gary, I got to confess, I'm overweight. I'm type 2 diabetic. Now I'm 83. But the fact is, the vax has exacerbated all of this. I mean, part of what she was addressing really are effects of the COVID vax, which has made things overwhelmingly worse. But wow, what a wonderful, sensible, intelligent, well-spoken woman. I was very impressed. That's a wonderful interview with Tucker. That deserves widespread exposure, Gary. Widespread exposure. Sensational.
Yeah, we're doing the best we can. Okay, here's our brother Nathaniel warning about the bird flu.
How many chickens can you chew in one stew? less than a few. A bird flu pandemic is coming your way. Monkeypox is paving the way to scare you as easy prey. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the chickens and the feed and a thing called flu.
Someone there? Who is it? Look. Mitch, this isn't usual, is it?
We've been out back looking at the chickens. Something seems to be wrong with them.
There's nothing wrong with those chickens, Mitch.
That's the damnest thing I ever saw. I don't know. It seemed to swoop down at you deliberately.
Birds are not aggressive creatures, miss. What do you think they were after?
I think they were after the children.
For what purpose?
To kill them.
It started with this pilot program, COVID, in March of 2020. Just a dressed down rehearsal by Big Pharma Jews in sync with global Jewry to wage war on humanity with its sinister depopulation agenda. As of May 2024, the national pre-pandemic vaccine stockpile has 400,000 filled vials of bird flu injections. In June 2024, the U.S. Gov ordered an additional 4.8 million doses of that vaccine to be added to the stockpile. The vaccine maker, CSL Seqirus, was tasked with making the additional doses at its North Carolina plant. CSL's prime shareholders are State Street Global and Colbert, Kravis, Roberts, KKR. Usual suspects, Jews. Larry Fink owns State Street Global. Henry Kravis owns KKR. Fear sets in where shrewd men refuse to shred. The Jew stream media has already reported on various takes of bird flu H5N1 outbreaks. To date, since 2020, we're being told, I mean being scared, that bird flu has killed millions of wild birds and has infected poultry, cattle, domestic cats, and a number of human beings. Fear-mongering is a Jewish forte. Thus comes along Dr. Peter Rabinowitz to give the goys the shivers. Health officials are looking for evidence of mammal-to-mammal transmission and a person-to-person transmission, which could be a definite warning about H5N1's potential to become an epidemic. The jab will be lethal, and deaths will be blamed on the bird flu. Not the jab. Placebos will be used on parts of the American population to give cover that the job is safe. Millions of whites in targeted red states will die. Chickens, pigs, cows will be annihilated to fool the white population into being protected, while at the same time starving them into malnutrition. Be forewarned, Mr. Trump. Bird flu is the stuff that creates the perfect panic to usher in mail-in votes. The International Bird Flu Summit is coming October 3rd, right under your nose, Mr. Trump, just 30 minutes from D.C. It will prep the way for Jewish hacks on Cap Hill to declare a national emergency, so mail-in votes across spacious bird-flying skies and amber waves of flu will be mandated. A car stays in every garage, and any chicken for your pot will not survive. The most hated VP could then emerge as president on November 5.
Okay.
My, like, brother Nathaniel, I think he's terrific.
Yeah,
they're going to want to fake another pandemic, bird flu pandemic. Yeah, that Hitchcock classic. It looks a little campy these days with the special effects, and we can do them so much better now. Mm-hmm. Including, for example, Kamala faking vast crowds at her appearances. She did one in Raleigh, North Carolina, however, where they didn't have a musician to draw the crowd, and they only had dozens turn up, total 109, including a press, which indicates no matter what she does, nobody cares. She's so vacuous and insubstantial. Gary, don't be surprised if Brother Nathaniel's got it exactly right. They're going to try and panic us. They're going to try to do everything they've done before with COVID. It's not going to be pretty, but perhaps we've learned enough to know that they're trying to stampede us like lemmings over the cliff. Don't let yourself be played, and for God's sake, don't take any vaccine being promoted by the government. In fact, you're better off if you don't take any vaccine at all, period.
I completely agree with it. I've been screaming that for 10 years. Okay.
With 25 abortions performed and thousands voluntarily sterilized in a van right outside the Democratic National Convention, yesterday marked the last day of the ritual as Kamala Harris accepted the nomination. Now, what impressed me the most was how the Democrats managed to make policies, the very thing that voters used to base their decisions on just 5 minutes ago, completely irrelevant.
I haven't heard from many voters looking for white papers and policy papers. What they want to hear is what her vision is for this country.
The American people don't vote on policy prescriptions.
The way the American people think about this choice is less about the minutia of policy and more about the direction of the country, number one. And secondly, about the person.
If you go with the vibes, it's a vibes election.
Right, that's right.
Who cares about policies? Who cares that the very people who lecture you about dangers to democracy pushed Biden out and replaced him with a candidate who couldn't even win a single primary in 2020 and was polling at 3%. Just go with the vibe. I mean, look at all these celebrities and idols praising Kamala. What else do you want? Just do it. Here's an interesting contrast.
President of America! President Camacho!
That was a scene from the movie Idiocracy, which is about a future where society has become very stupid due to declining intellectual and cultural standards. And this is the DNC.
Turn it out for what? Hey, everybody get your hands up! Hey, everybody get your hands up! Hey, everybody get your hands up! Now, say, we're not going back! We're not going back!
I'm not going to say that the Democrats are a living example of idiocracy because that would be generalizing. The Democrats are a living example of idiocracy.
Okay.
The guy's good. The guy's good. All his points were well taken. It is idiocracy. You know, polling shows on the bigger issues, the economy. Trump leads Kamala like 55 to 35, maybe 40, on inflation, like 65 to maybe 30, on the border, like 75 to 20. I mean, Trump is leading on the issues that matter. He has a lead in all the swing states. They're deliberately oversampling Democrats, women, progressive, to give an inflated impression of Kamala standing in the polls, to make it easier to steal the election so people will think, oh, yeah, well, the polls told us she was in the lead. Don't let yourself be fooled. It's all fraudulent. This guy is very good. I like it, Gary. Excellent choice for inclusion today. Well done.
All right. We've got good news, unless you're a U.S. citizen here in the housing market.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
A taxpayer-funded group is offering $30,000 to people who want to buy homes in Oregon. But there's a catch. You cannot be a United States citizen to get the money. According to the Oregon Citizen, the Hacienda Community Development Corporation is taking part in the taxpayer-funded down payment assistance program that gives tens of thousands of dollars to non-citizens to buy homes in Oregon. The flyer specifically states that American citizens are not eligible. The Camino a Casa program reportedly works closely with financial coaches and HUD-certified housing counselors throughout the entirety of the home buying process.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, talk about idiocracy. They're giving all these benefits to illegals to come in, and the crime rate for migrants in Europe has just skyrocketed because you got all these illegals who have very little training, background, education, don't have a way of earning an honest living. So, of course, they're resorting to burglary, to robbery. It's going to happen here too, except the American government is so generous under Biden and Harris that they're just giving away taxpayer money. They're bringing them in by the droves with all kinds of free stuff. And Americans, the real Americans, the taxpayers, are being left high and dry. In fact, we're being soaked for the benefit of these illegals, which Kamala even wants to be able to vote in this election. I mean, it boggles the mind, Gary, that that party is sunk to such depths of depravity and betrayal of the public trust. But there it is. Yeah, happy days are here again for illegals. But if you're an American citizen, sorry, you're out of luck.
Absolutely. Okay, next thing. Here we go.
For more and more of us, search and social media platforms aren't just our window into the internet. They serve as our primary source of news and information. No one tells us that the window is blurred, subject to unseen distortions and subtle manipulations. We just saw a sitting president deny the clear results of an election and help incite a violent insurrection at the nation's capital. Not only that, but a majority of his party, including many who occupy some of the highest offices in the land, continue to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the last election and are using it to justify laws that restrict the vote. What does still nag at me, though, was my failure to fully appreciate at the time just how susceptible we had become to lies and conspiracy theories, despite having spent years being a target of disinformation myself. Social media companies already make choices about what is or is not allowed on their platforms and how that content appears, both explicitly through content moderation and implicitly through algorithms. The problem is we often don't know what principles govern those decisions.
Hey, thanks for watching.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, if you want reason to despise Barack Obama, there they are writ large. The January 6th event was orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the mayor of Washington, D.C. Trump wasn't inspiring an insurrection. He told his followers to peacefully and patriotically protest a stolen election, and there can be no doubt it was stolen. The crowd was loaded with FBI assets, Ray Epps being the most prominent. General Milley withheld sending troops to manage the crowd even after the President of the United States had requested them. It was all sham, just like all the lawsuits brought against Donald Trump, all sham. So they could discuss him, describe him, characterize him as Barack Obama did here. Yes. Americans are susceptible to lies and conspiracy because Barack Obama has been the center of so very many. But then that's a Democrat way. Steal election after election. They stole 2020. They stole 2022. Stand by for an instant replay in 2024.
All right, our girl.
Check this out. The Bank of Canada is currently accepting job applications for a product architect to design a digital currency. The Bank of Canada is embarking on a program of major social significance to design a contingent system for a central bank digital currency, which can be thought of as a banknote but in digital form. But wait, it gets even better. Under the challenges section, the Bank of Canada specifies that the digital currency must be universally accessible. Regardless of their circumstances, CBDC should be usable by all Canadians, even by those without a bank account or access to a cellular phone. What sort of technology could allow you to access digital currency without a cell phone? Could it be a microchip? This may seem far-fetched to those of you who remained willfully ignorant over the past 19 months, but it isn't far-fetched at all. Here's how human microchipping is going in Sweden.
When Elias Brotberger goes to work, he doesn't need ID. And he doesn't need money. In fact, much of what he needs to get through the day is hidden right there, just below the surface, in his hand. Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Now, while the chip being used in Sweden connects directly to the user's bank account, the CBDC being rolled out in Canada is not to be confused with online payment apps. This is a brand new centralized form of currency. So what does that mean? It means that this new form of currency will bypass the commercial banking system and be completely controlled by the government, with the ultimate goal of eliminating cash altogether. So once this system is in place, the government can track all of your spending habits, automatically withdraw funds for taxation, and even shut your digital wallet down altogether if you're being a bad little boy or girl. Centralized digital currency is already in place in China, where it will be integrated into their social credit system, a system that scores citizens on their behavior, and bad behavior is punished by restricting their participation in society. A bad score can come from minor infractions like gossiping, littering, or speaking ill of the government, and can result in being blacklisted from traveling, going to restaurants, or even renting a home. Wow, interesting how China's social credit system looks identical to the vaccine passport we're using to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. You know, a smart person might even assume that the virus was simply a Trojan horse to usher in a complete surveillance state, but luckily there aren't that many smart people here in Canada. Now, of course, none of this is the natural progression of technology. The RFID implant to connect the digital currency to the social credit system has been in the works for years, and many have warned about its implications. One such man is Aaron Russo, who recounted his conversations with Nick Rockefeller about the Rockefeller family's plan to accomplish complete control over humanity.
And the whole agenda is to create a one-world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips. Right, there'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. If they say you owe us this much money in taxes, they just deduct it out of your chip digitally.
Total control.
And if you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip, and you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has your purchasing records, what you do.
Everything. Everything is in there.
Now, some of you may think that all of this is completely unrelated to COVID, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Retail stores and restaurants across the country are now going contactless under the guise of public health and safety. Some establishments are even refusing cash altogether over the fear that the boogeyman virus might thrive on banknotes. The vaccine passport is simply a free trial to the social credit system, digital currency, and complete control and surveillance of the entire global population. So if you're still on the fence about whether you should participate in the vax pass and the segregation of society, you can rest assured that where we're headed, you're gonna wish COVID would take you out.
I mean, remember when we had friends and you could just, like, disagree with your friends and then just, like, continue living your life? That was a good time. That was a good time. That's what we did in the 90s. You'd be like, you know, your friend would talk about dinosaurs and you'd be like, I don't buy it. And they'd be like, you don't buy dinosaurs? Like, what part? You don't buy that they existed? You don't buy that they look like that? And I was just like, I don't buy it. I don't buy that giant fucking lizards were just roaming the earth. You ever read about this? They'll find like one little bit of a bone, and then they're like, this little bit of a bone belonged to this giant dinosaur. It's the most ridiculous. I mean, think about that story. That's why it's the first one they tell kids. Because it's the most ridiculous fucking story. It was just giant lizards with tiny little arms roaming the planet. It's stupid. It's stupid.
Okay.
Gary, I gotta tell you, I don't just love her. I'm in love with her. I'm putty in her hands. She is beautiful, intelligent, articulate, smart as a tack. She's a whole package, Gary, honest to beat. Take me, I'm yours. She's wonderful. I love these clips, Gary. You gotta keep them coming. They
yeah, I have
make
to.
Day.
Yeah, I have to find them. She's not posting anymore. Remember, about 8 months ago, she, for the sake of her baby, she just said it was taking up too much time. So that's a clip that could be, you know, 3 years old, but it's still relevant, of course. All right, here's the final clip of the day. All right, this is Mike Tyson getting a rise from Bill Maher.
So listen, they allowed them to participate. Who are we to talk?
What?
Hey guys, I'm off the grid for August, but Bill Maher is actually making some sense while I'm away.
Bill, how do you feel about transgenders being able to compete in opposite gender, their original gender sports? Like, how do you
feel?
Well,
I just go by what the women are saying, women athletes.
Yeah.
Who are saying it's not fair to us.
That's not true. I know this one tennis player, Renee something. She used to get beat all the time. She was a
Renee champion. Richards?
Is that her name?
Yes. I mean, she was one of the first transgender
but
people.
But she didn't win no championships or anything?
No, of course. It doesn't happen all the time. Oh. But, I mean, the big case now is this Leah Thomas. Yeah. This is someone who...
She's a bruiser?
She's a swimmer.
She's a bruiser.
Well,
swimmer,
I mean,
right?
Swimmer? Born a man, still has a penis, I believe.
Well, you got the penis, you can't play, baby.
No,
well,
playing.
She does.
She's winning
swims.
Championships. Yeah.
I mean, when she was...
Who the hell am I to talk?
Well,
who the hell am I to talk?
That would be a great name for this podcast.
Yeah, I'm a
who the hell am I to talk with Mike Tyson? But she, when she competed as a man, she was not winning.
Yeah.
And now as she competing as a woman...
She's winning a lot.
I mean, but she, from what I've read, she has a penis and dates women. I don't know. That sounds like
I would
a
love for you to have a debate with
her. It sounds like
her.
She just put on a wig. Like,
when you love
you know,
him to have a debate with that woman, you should have a debate with her.
I don't want a debate. And look, it's a complicated issue. I mm-hmm. guess there are, it sounds to me like what they need is a third category. They
yeah.
need a category, a trans category, because it's obviously sometimes, often, I think, not fair to women. And that's what they said. Like, we're competing against women. This is what Title IX was. When they passed that 50 years ago, it was very important that women be able to have equal opportunity in sports against other women. Because obviously, Mike, can you imagine going into the ring against a woman with you in your prime, or even now? I mean, it would be a bloodbath.
Or me playing football.
Or football.
Yeah.
Exactly. Men and women are different. I mean, some of these things are just a priori assessments.
So listen, they allowed them to participate. Who are we to talk?
What?
If they allowed them to participate.
Well, he asked me whether
I thought
it was whether I thought it was
it could be
fair.
Yeah.
And he said that they should probably create their own category.
Another league, yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, you can't discount all these women who say it's unfair to me. No. I'm competing against essentially a man who has, you know, a testosterone, even if they're taking hormones or something. There's a lot of it. They have bigger muscle mass.
Yeah, more bone density.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, even John McEnroe, I think it was, who said if Serena Williams played against... In the men's circuit, and Serena Williams, obviously,
beast.
Powerful and
beast.
Amazing athlete. He said she'd be like 700th in the world. And she even said once, when I played against a man, I didn't realize. I hit shots that no woman could get to, and he got to them easily. So obviously, there are differences between men and women. Could we just agree on that?
Okay.
I mean,
maybe.
Okay.
Are you a sleepy Joe who has zero cognitive performance? Scared of walking upstairs without being worried you're going to fall?
All right, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, if anyone had any doubts about whether Mike Tyson is a rocket scientist, they could be laid to rest. Bill Maher's got a ride. They need to introduce a new category of sports. You got to have men's sports, women's sports, and trans sports. Let the trannies compete when I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Leah Thomas, however, competing as a man, ranked, I don't know. You talked about Serena being 500th. Leah Thomas was something like 500th of men's swimmers. So that's exactly what was happening there. And he just had the, in my opinion, lack of ethics, lack of morality to call himself a woman and compete in women's sports to the detriment of all women. And in fact, it's insulting to athletes everywhere. So, Gary, I'm very pleased you included this. Makes me think higher of Bill Maher, lower of Mike Tyson, who doesn't seem quite able to put 2 + 2 together. But this idea of men and women's sports is disgusting, revolting, and it's part of the Democrat agenda. I dare say, there's another issue. The Republican platform says very baldly, no men and women's sports. That's absolutely right. How dumb are we as a society to think any differently? Gary, nice piece to tie things together today.
I have one more thing. We have a little bit more sand, so I'm going to play a video of my band that we did about war. All right.
Terrific.
So here we go.
This is General King. Report.
This is 6 Actual. I have eyes on a high-value target. Please advise. Over.
Roger. You've got a green light. Execute.
Again, the crows are gathering like shadows in the night. Now my life is gone, but ain't lost without fight. Blues of war, forsaken beast, valleys of the mind. Indifferent to your agony, killer by design. So vividly, I was a child in the earth. The blood upon my mother's thigh, and the experience of birth. For these crows were circling, for that wolf could hide. Yeah.
savage world. The season of the grow. The fire dies drenched in blood, but the embers ever glow. Before these crows were circling, before that wolf could howl.
Okay, that was about the Afghan war.
So, nice bonus, Gary.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, had to throw it in there. All right, everyone, we appreciate you watching the show, and leave your thumbs up, comments, and all that, and we'll see you next week.